Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Work. Today's date is April 10, 2014. Saints, world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And my cell phone number, in a case of emergency, is 316-619-4886. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com is like a hub where you can connect to all of the different parts of our ministry, Mission Watch. You can connect to the Women's Shelter, which is womensmercy.com. We just got that one for that. So womensmercy.com. But at prophecyhour.com, you can find links to everything. Now, I'm really excited about tonight's program, so I'll have a prayer and I'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, and not necessarily to what our guest wants, but to what you want. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, next week, dark on Sunday is the 13th. Well, the 13th is Sunday. At dark, it becomes the 14th. That's Passover. This is the first spring feast of the year. And when you attend a Passover Seder, if you haven't done it before, I really advise you to, because it gives you a really wonderful understanding of what Yeshua did for us. This year, however, during the feast, we will see the first of four blood moons. Well, we brought back on with us a guest who's been on with us before. That is Mark Blitz, founder of El Shaddai Ministries in Washington State. He's a well-known commentator on the Feast of the Lord and has produced a series of popular books and DVDs about the feast that have been sold around the world. His research and theories have earned him guest appearances both on radio and television and have placed him on the covers of magazines. He's spoken before congregations and at conferences in Sweden, Germany, Switzerland, Canada, as well as Alaska, Washington. Boy, this list just goes on and on. Anyway, he's been interviewed by Fox Television. He's appeared on Sid Roth television broadcasts and Prophecy in the News. He's also been interviewed by many radio stations such as ours and even bigger ones, of course, than ours. So enough about Mark. So welcome back, Mark. Boy, you have a long resume there, brother.
Oh, I don't know about that, but it's been crazy the last 6 years talking about this.
Yeah, well, you know, you say it's been crazy, but, you know, it's been really wonderful because the first time that I got hooked up with you was the Great Beast DVD that you do and that you have at your website. That uh-huh. is the most amazing DVD I've ever seen.
Well, thank you.
Well, and folks, I strongly encourage you to get that. Tonight, though, Mark, we're going to talk about your book and about Passover, of course, that's coming. A lot of people don't even, Christians out there don't even understand why we're keeping Passover. So I guess that's a place to start. You really laid it out great in this new book, which I guess I better mention the name of the book. But I don't want WorldNet Daily mad at me, huh? Anyway, well, I love WorldNet Daily. They send me a lot of guests. But anyway, the book is called Blood Moons, Decoding the Intimate Heavenly Signs. And the great thing about this book, Mark, even if you took the blood moon part out of it, it gives such a description of the things that happen on the feast and their meanings, just like the DVD does. So, what about Passover? Like you explained it in your great chapter in there about the spring feast. What are we talking about?
Well, you know, what's amazing, Dan, is that here the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. Well, he was talking about Passover. Jesus himself said we need to keep Passover. And even the Rabbi Shaul, also known as Rabbi Paul, or Apostle Paul, he even said, you know, keep the feast. And so I think that Christians need to observe Passover based on if they want to do what Jesus says. That's the main thing.
Yeah, amen, I agree. As I said at the first of this, you know, the first time that I went to Passover, you know, other than the big shop of the bitter herbs, and I don't want to let that out to everybody, but it gave me such a deeper understanding of what Yeshua actually did. You know what I'm saying, Cedar?
Oh, of course.
Elaborate a little.
Well, yeah, you know, I like to start with what Christians are familiar with in the book of Revelation. It says Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. Well, to me, what that means is God had this whole thing planned out from the beginning. It's not like Jesus died and then he had to go, we better go to plan B now and resurrect him, you know. So Passover, God even planned what songs were going to be sung at his son's funeral. He had David write the Psalms, the music that would be sung when his son Yeshua died. To me, this is incredible. Here, see, people don't understand these feasts were dress rehearsals. That's why Jesus died on Passover, because every year they would slay the lamb on Passover. I mean, he was even bound to the cross at 9 in the morning, the time of the morning sacrifice. So at the very moment the high priest is binding the Passover lamb to the altar, they're binding Yeshua to the cross, and they're singing Psalms 118, bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. I mean, this was all rehearsed. God had this all planned out to the hour.
Yeah, amen. And that was when I'm talking about the in your book, the chapter on the spring feast. Was so amazing. You know, you talked about, tell them what song that was. I found that really explicitly, you know, that was really amazing, and I didn't quite realize that.
Yeah, every Passover they sing what's called the Hallel. The Psalms was their hymn book. They would sing Psalms 113 through Psalms 118. And Christians are surprised when I tell them about the verse in the Gospels where it says they sang a hymn and went over to the Mount of Olives. And I tell them, well, I know the words to the song. Well, they're in shock. And then I tell them, well, look, it's Psalms 118, because they would sing Psalms 113 through Psalms 118 until the last hymn would be Psalms 118. And so when you think about it, what were the words that they were singing right before he was rejected, you know, and taken prisoner? Well, Psalms 118 says, this is the stone the builders have rejected. It's become the headstone of the corner. You know, this is just incredible.
Yeah, it's simply incredible. And like you say, David wrote it, and, you know, these things weren't just put together on the fly of the moment, so to speak. Plan B. I like that. Well, let's go to Plan B, got crucified. Yeah. Well, amen, although I see a lot in the Bible that looks like the devil tried to intercede, and whether it was ruin the bloodline or what, to stop this plan, because it was there from the first. Again, you know, what could if we're talking to, there's a lot of Christians that listen to our radio program that aren't, that have never been to a Passover Seder. So what should we tell them to expect? Encourage them in some manner, what we should say to them to get them to come to one.
Well, you know what? We, last year we did one, and we had 1,500 people. I think it was one of the world's largest seders. And we had pastors from every denomination coming and bringing members to it. And this year, for the first time ever, this coming Sunday night, I'm not sure when this is airing, but this Sunday night, April 13th, we're going to live stream our Seder so people all over the world can watch it for free.
Oh, really? That's amazing. And you said you, okay, for the record, Mark, we're on live radio. We're on live satellite right now, and we're also on live, internet right now. And then within 30 minutes after this radio program airs, then it will be put in podcast, and people from all over the world will be picking it up. And so
we'd love for them to live stream it. Just go to our website, lcdiministries.us, or Google my name, Mark Bilks, and it'll take you to our website. And our live stream button is on the right. And this coming Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, our time, we're going to live stream our Seder to the whole world for free.
Wow. That's simply amazing. You know, something that you hit on that I find simply amazing that you've told me before about your ministry, but we're going to hit on it here again. You said that pastors from every denomination, you also told me that people from all over from different denominations come to your Sabbath service. How is it that you manage something that you know, most Messianic or any other ministries to do this, to actually, you know,
it's crazy. Not only do we have every denomination that comes every week, we have Catholics and Baptists and Lutherans and Methodists and Pentecostals. I mean, you name it, every denomination comes. But more than that, every ethnic group comes. We have Chinese and Korean and Russians and Hispanics and African Americans. You name it, they're there. I mean, we literally have 24 Koreans whose first language is Korean, and I even put the notes for them in Korean. And it's just crazy. We have every denomination, we have every ethnic group, and we're all united with the scriptures. You know, we're not here to burn bridges, we're here to build bridges. And I like to share things that Christians don't hear anymore. I mean, so much of the church is dumbed down, you know, giving milk and cookies. There's no meat and potatoes on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And sadly enough, I see a lot that, you know, say that they are tired of, you know, getting the small things and not getting the meat potatoes, and they leave and they form a group or something. And then and I'm not picking on them, honestly, if some of you folks are listening, but then you folks, you get all so inclusive around some kind of a doctrine or something.
Right.
And you exclude people with that, you know? I think it's prophetic what you're saying, in the sense that you're saying you have all the different denominations and everything, because isn't the house of the Lord, isn't that what it says, to be a prayer house for all people?
You got it. You're exactly right. That's what he wants it to be.
Yeah, amen. And so that's an amazing thing. So then I guess your door's open to anybody that just comes along, huh?
Oh, you bet. As long as they don't cause trouble, as long as they're not. We don't want people coming in treating our place like a marketing place and trying to sell Amway. You know, we don't want people, coming in who are trying to sell something, you know, or something like this, or cause trouble. But we are open our doors to every ethnic group and every denomination if they behave.
Well, that's amazingly. Now, back to this book for a minute. How long has the book been out? It hasn't been out very long, has it?
Less than a month, and we've gone through about 90,000 copies already.
That was my next question, 90,000 copies. Well, amen. I sure hope people get it and pick it up and read it. Going on from that, let's go back to this. So Passover, that's what I want to know. Okay, why is there such confusion? In fact, I emailed you over this because people were just berating me about the date. Why is there so much confusion over the date? It used to be, when I first started keeping Passover, I looked up when Israel was keeping Passover, no problem. Now I'm berated with people. I'm wrong date, day off, month off. What is all that about?
It's confusion, and God's not the author of confusion, which is why he wants us to use the Jewish calendar. I mean, here's the example that I like to give, that if I was I'm not a policeman, I'm a pastor, but if I paint my car like a police car and I go and put on a police uniform, can I go around arresting people for being bad drivers? No. Matter of fact, I'd get thrown in jail for impersonating an officer. And yet some of these Gentiles think they can put on a Jewish tallit and a kippah, and that gives them the authority to go around determining when Passover is, you know, or when the new moon is. Well, they don't have the authority. That's the problem. That's the whole problem, is they don't have the authority. the Jewish people have the authority. How can a non-Jew, just because he throws on a kippah, thinks he can tell the Jews when to keep Passover? It's just insane.
That is insanity. And besides, if we were supposed to make them, you know, what's it say? We're supposed to make them jealous, so to speak. We're sure not going to do it that way. You know?
We're just making them angry.
Yeah, amen. But the date thing has sure, I mean, when, like I say, when I first started keeping it, it was inclusive. The first time I ever did it, it was, at the Remnant of Israel in Wichita, Kansas, and there was a lot of people there, and I won't pick out names, but a few years later, people started coming up with these different dates and ways to look at it. And something that started off really good and I thought, you know, was going to bring the Christian world into get into the Hebrew roots started becoming very, very, exclusive.
Divisive.
Inclusive, you know, and so.
Yeah, think about it. God didn't give all, 3 million Jews the right to cite the new moon and they get it determined on their own when it was, for heaven's sake. I mean, what happens if it's sunny in a lot but cloudy on the Galilee? You know, you'll have 6 million different calendars. No one individual has the authority to determine it, you know, so.
Oh, amen. I agree with you fully. I think people forget that the Bible is really an Eastern book, you know, instead of a Western book. And,
yeah. You
know, they need to look at it a little different. Let's go on to the blood moons. Okay. The book's about blood moons. First off, for some people that have never heard of them or just scratching their head, we're talking about blood moons. What's a blood moon?
Simply, it's a total lunar eclipse. When the moon turns blood red, what happens? The earth comes between the sun and the moon, and so it casts this shadow over the moon, but the blue light rays are shorter, and they, you know, get sent off as they go through the earth's atmosphere, but the longer red rays focus on the moon, and so that's why the moon looks a blood red. And so when the Bible talks about the moon turning to blood, it's referring directly to a total lunar eclipse.
Amen. So what's so significant about, you say this is a tetrad? What's
there's
that?
There are four total lunar eclipses in a row falling on the feast days, which is just incredible. But when you have four blood moons in a row, it's called a tetrad. Yes.
So why is that significant to us? I mean, us Bible believers.
Sure, that's great. Well, because in Genesis 1:14, God created, he created the sun and the moon to send signals on his feast days. So all I'm saying is, hey, God said he created the sun and the moon to send signals on his feast days. We have these four blood moons coming in a row on his feast days. You know, maybe there's some significance, especially when you look at the last time it happened was 1967 when Israel captured Jerusalem. The time before that was right after they became a nation in 1948. The time before that was at the Spanish Inquisition. You have eclipses all around the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. You got eclipses all around the death of Jesus in 32 and 33 AD. So I think that's why they have significance.
Well, I'm sorry to seemingly trying to pry it out of you. I know that it's in the book, but you know, people say, well, what if something doesn't happen right on the blood moon? Does that mean that, you know, Mark's a false prophet or what?
Well, exactly. Well, first off, here's the thing. I don't control an eclipse, number one. Number two, I don't control the biblical calendar. Number three, I'm not saying anything's going to happen on the day of the eclipse. What I'm saying, and this is what's important, I'm being a scientific observer, and I'm just saying, look, when Israel captured Jerusalem, that wasn't on the day of the blood moon. When Israel became a nation, it wasn't on the day of the blood moon. So I'm not saying anything's going to happen on the day of the blood moon. What I am saying is this, look scientifically at the patterns. What did you see happen in 48? A biblically prophetic war with Israel. What happened in 67? A biblically prophetic war with Israel. So what I'm saying is, there possibility, I'm not prophesying anything. I jokingly say we're a non-profit ministry. And, but seriously. So,
that's funny.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is, hey, look, guys, let's look at the pattern. There could be a biblically prophetic war involving Israel. And you know what's interesting? In Joel, where it talks about the moon turning to blood, the context is God will judge every nation who's dividing his land. And look what the world is doing, pushing Israel to try to divide their land. So I think these four blood moons are like four flashing red lights at an intersection. And it's a warning to Israel. It's a warning to the nations to not try to divide their God's land, or else there will be judgment. So just like Jonah, Nineveh repented, nothing happened. Hey, I'm saying these four blood moons are occurring. Nothing may happen, but there's a potential of a biblically prophetic war maybe. Plus, I also think there's a good chance of economic disaster as well.
Yeah, I agree on both counts. I researched the news because I presented on another person's program, and then, you know, talk about it prophetically, and also I have it on my website. But right now, and here comes my train. Anyway, right now there is so much going on with Israel. I don't think we've ever seen Israel in such a place that it's at. I mean, they're completely surrounded with people that want to kill them right now. What do you think?
Oh, well, for sure. I mean, after all, look what's going on in Egypt, what went on in Libya, Syria, Iran. I mean, talk about the pot being stirred. It's being stirred like never before over there in the Middle East.
Yeah, absolutely. And Iran is getting closer. If they don't already have a bomb, they're getting closer and closer. Although I don't see them actually being able to use a bomb. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere on Israel. Do you?
Well, what I do know, if you read Isaiah 17, this is the war where Damascus is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
After it mentions Damascus being destroyed, it talks about the glory of Israel waxing thin, and as if they get some kind of a hit. I don't think they're going to get a nuclear bomb. I would hope not. But I don't think Israel is going to be unscathed either.
Right. Well, I don't either. I don't see how possible. But, you know, I do believe that in the finale of things, you know, Yeshua, that's the point. He's going to come back and save Israel. Isn't that the point of his coming, is to save Israel as well as us?
Exactly. Jerusalem is the apple of his eye. And when you're poking Israel, you're poking God in the eye.
Very good. Well, let's give your website, and then we'll come back and talk again after break.
Sure. You can Google my name, Mark Biltz, and it'll take you to our website, ElShaddaiMinistries.us.
ElShaddaiMinistries.us. By the way, for the people, what's El Shaddai mean?
The mighty God, you know, the all-sufficient provider. He's the mighty God.
Well, I'm trying to get a lot out of you tonight. I'm sorry. Anyway.
That's great.
Anyway, folks, you go over to Mark's site, and I'm not trying to be a seller for Mark. Of course, there is the Blood Moon DVD. The DVD is great. I showed that to our congregation, and actually, Mark, I even had some people that weren't keeping the feast or anything said, hey, now, and one of them said, hey, I'm a Jew now after seeing the feast tape, and he took it home to show his parents and his grandma, and that's how impressed he was, and I encourage everybody to get it, and it's a great learning tool, as well as this book. Like I said, Mark, this book has things in it that is also on that great DVD that you have, and that's just what called the Feast DVD.
The Feast of the Lord, yeah.
Yeah, amen. Okay, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices going up. Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. We need your help to help the people that the Father is sent to us. So why do so many people come to us for help when we're just a little place? Well, love is the first answer, and then they're treated as family. Second, beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. Just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. And then if we don't have a way to fill the need, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the very last hope for so many. And, folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And if you're going to our website to look for something to purchase, you will not find anything, because Messiah's Branch does not sell anything. We are in about the Father's business of trying to get souls saved and to be charity for the poor. Anyway, we're talking about the Blood Moons, and specifically a book, The Blood Moons, Decoding the Intimate Heavenly Signs, with the author, Mark Blitz. Are you still there with me, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounds good. Let's do this. We're talking about Blood Moons. What night is this one going to come?
It is coming on Monday night, and it'll April 14th, the morning of April 15th. It's Monday night, Tuesday morning. It'll be seen on the East Coast in totality about 3 in the morning, on the West Coast about midnight. And for those where it's cloudy, you can go to a website and watch it for free. I think it's called Griffith Observatory. We have a link on our website to their website.
So where I'm at in Kansas, that'd be around midnight? Is that what you said?
Well, I would think it'd be 1. It's midnight on the West Coast, so it'd be 2 o'clock. In, I'm from Wichita, Kansas, as a matter of fact, and that's where it'll be, about 2 in the morning. It'll probably begin around 1 in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be around 2 in the morning.
Okay. I wondered if you was going to admit to that when I threw that out there.
Of course.
Well, of course. Yeah, I love Wichita, and, you know, we're doing kind of off subject, but we so many years just been supported by radio, but Wichita has now started to notice the work that we're doing, and we've got a big fundraiser coming on over there. But anyway, so it's going to be, that'll be Monday night, and the next Blood Moon, now that comes on the Feast of Tabernacles. To people out there that are just normal Christians, Mark, what is the Feast of Tabernacles about? What's that about? Besides, well, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. What's it about?
Sure. Well, in Exodus and in, let's see, Leviticus 23 and in Numbers 19, or 28 and 29, it talks about the Feast of Tabernacles where God tells Israel, because he had them dwell in booths for 40 years in the wilderness, he wanted them to again dwell in booths, you know, or these tabernacles. But prophetically, what it represents is God tabernacling among man, the millennial reign. That's why in Zechariah 14, it says that all those people who survived the tribulation have to come up every year to Jerusalem to honor the Lord on the Feast of Tabernacles. And if they don't, they're going to get no rain, they're going to get the plague. So obviously God honors the Feast of Tabernacles because he told them to forever remember it, and Jesus is not only going to keep it, he's going to be there in Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and everyone has to come and worship him. So it's important for Christians to understand this feast.
Well, amen. And that brings us around to another subject. You know, Yeshua is going to be reigning from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. So here we have two things. I have a fellow that was on radio, and he was trying to tell me that Jerusalem was Babylon and was going to be blown off the map. And then the second part is I have so many people, I say, well, you know, Yeshua is going to reign for 1,000 years. And they believe that just as soon as, you know, he returns, that everybody's going to be off into heaven and end of story. That's quite a shock.
Well, it's not the biblical. That's for sure.
I know that.
No, the Lord's going to rule and reign on earth, and we're going to be here with him for 1,000 years. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, amen. And pretty simply, folks, if you go over and just read the book of Revelation, it talks about 1,000-year reign of Yeshua on earth. And so, which is a wonderful thing. So can we talk about this a minute? What will believers be doing during that period of time? Won't we have glorified bodies? What will we be doing during this time?
Okay, great point. I think we'll have, just like Jesus was able to walk through a wall, you know, he had a body, they could see him, he ate, he drank, you know, but he could transport himself about anywhere and go through walls, and I think that there will be believers that will have that same ability and will be here, but what a lot of people don't realize is there's going to be a lot of normal human beings that survived the tribulation that are going to be on earth with normal bodies, getting married, having kids, you know, so the whole concept within biblical thought really is what's called in Hebrew tikkun olam, which means to repair the world. Well, you can't repair it if you're not here and not involved. So the 1,000-year reign is involved. The whole purpose of it is to repair the world, not to get out of the world. That's why, you know, there's the tree that's with the leaves for the healing of the nations, you know. And so I really believe that our work isn't finished. God wants us to help repair the world. So I think we're going to be doing some repairing, and we'll also be witnessing to humans who don't know the Lord that survived the tribulation. Because if you remember, at the end of the 1,000 years, all these people in the world now come back and try to attack Israel again, stupidly enough.
Yeah, it says after the 1,000 years that, what is it, Gog and Magog is released for a little while along with the devil.
Yeah.
It's plain reading. You know, I don't know, let's go with this. How do you think that, I don't understand how they can read the Bible and get that doctrine of when, you know, that when Yeshua returns, it's just going to be heaven. Any idea where that came from?
Oh, I'm not sure, but I sure don't want to be floating on a cloud. I want to be down here getting some work done.
I don't want to be floating on a cloud either. Amen. Absolutely. But that also, a lot of people, you know, you tell them that, they think that immediately at his return that everything bad is going to be instantly burned up and then it's good. And you know, folks, you need to read, what I'm trying to say is you need to read the Bible for yourself. You really do. And so there's more feasts than that. What's the two feasts that come up just before Tabernacles?
Well, you have the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, and then you have the Feast of Yom Kippur, Israel's National Day of Atonement.
Well, what's the trumpets all about?
Well, I think everyone is familiar with trumpets in the book of Revelation. Hello. You know, so I think that trumpets are announcing of warning. That's the whole purpose of a shofar, is to blow warnings. And so I believe on the Feast of Trumpets some year, and I don't set dates, I have no idea, but I believe the tribulation will begin some year on the Feast of Trumpets with a big trumpet blast. And I think that the resurrection of the dead will happen some year, I don't know when, on the Feast of Trumpets. I believe the Feast of Trumpets announces the coronation of the king. And so the Lord will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of all some year on that day. And then, of course, Yom Kippur speaks of Israel's National Day of Atonement, when they'll realize that Jesus is the Messiah, or Yeshua is their Messiah. And like Jesus said, you won't see me until you say, Baruch Abba Hashem Adonai, or blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So he's not going to return till Israel does that. And so that leads us now to the Feast of Tabernacles, where he will tabernacle among men for 1,000 years. So they'll happen in order. Trumpets will happen first, and then then Yom Kippur, and then Tabernacles.
Well, amen. Well, I got three feasts out of here. praise the Father, but these meetings, folks, are so, there's just so much more to it than a little bit that, I know you did give an explanation, Mark, but there's so much more that there is to learn about it. And yes, you can learn from this Blood Moon book. It has some of that in it, but it goes back. The Feast of the Lord DVD that you have at your website it's just really wonderful. I've showed that to so many people, and I have to keep getting more copies because they'll buy it, and I'll say, well, are you going to return it? And they said, well, I'm showing it to somebody else, and I'm showing it to somebody else. And so I go, forget about it. Okay, keep it. I'll get another one, you know.
Well, you know what I'm doing for all your listeners?
Okay.
We are showing those Feast DVDs for free online right now.
Really?
We're archiving it for only 1 week. They only get 1 week to watch each one. Every week we're playing a different one. So we're playing the Spring Feast of the Lord right now. They could go to our archive and watch it. And then on Tuesday, we're going to play the Feast of Trumpets DVD for 1 week, have it available. And the next week, Yom Kippur, and the next week, Tabernacles. And then we won't show them again. But because the Passover's coming up, we have the Passover to Pentecost one up right now in our archives. And everyone around the world can print out the notes, and they can watch it for free, but it's only for 1 week.
Well, that's a real blessing. And so I'm looking at your homepage. So that would be where it says Archive Teachings?
Oh, it should be live stream on the far right where it says live stream.
Oh, okay. It says live stream current message. Would that be it?
Yeah, go to that. Let me get on my website, too, to make sure I'm telling everybody correctly.
Yeah, it says watch our here you go. Watch our current live message live.
Yeah, Feast of the Lord. I go down. Yeah, if you go down, it says You have Sunday, April 13th, where we're going to live stream the Seder. Underneath that is Saturday, April 12th, where we'll live stream that message. But underneath that, it says Feast of the Lord, and it's showing right now. You can watch it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, tell them how to get to this website again.
Yeah, please. You can put in my name in Google, Mark Bilt. It'll take you to our website, which is elshaddaiministries.us. On the far right is the live stream button. You scroll down close to the bottom, and you'll see where it says Feast of the Lord Encore Showing. And we're showing right now the first DVD in the set on the Spring Feast from Passover to Pentecost. We want everyone to watch that before Passover so they can get a feel of what this season is that we're coming into. And then next Tuesday night, we're going to play the trumpets. And then the next Tuesday, Yom Kippur, you know, and we'll just continue. But they're only going to be up for a week. So they only they need to Facebook it, Twitter, email all their friends and neighbors all over the world and tell them that they got just till next Tuesday to watch this one.
Well, I feel really blessed. I tell people about this all the time, and I tell them, well, you need to get this DVD. I'm going to put, I will put this on the front part of our website, on our blog, to where people can find it, because this is a real blessing. And I guarantee you, folks, that after you watch it, you're going to want to buy the thing so you can have it to watch over and over. You know, we watch, Mark, coming up, ever since I got it the first time, every year as we're coming up towards the Spring Feast, we show those DVDs. And then when we go back around towards the Fall Feast, we show those two coming up to them. And every year, it seems like... I don't remember him saying that. You know, I pulled something else out of it. Or one of the women do. And you know how women are. They always pull something. Okay, see, there's something you didn't know about, Pastor Dan. Okay, yeah, okay, you're right. Why didn't you tell me that? Well, so I'm showing you the DVD. That's, you know, I'm doing my work. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
So that's really wonderful. That's a great thing to do, Mark. What do you think? The world in the condition it's in now, or do you feel like we're getting any closer? Are we in that age or not?
Well, you know, what's interesting is in Psalms 102, it says, it's around between verse 15 and 20, it says, when the Lord will build up Zion, that's when he'll appear in his glory. Well, Zion was recaptured, or Jerusalem, in 1967, and he's been building it up ever since. That's what the world's complaining about, is all these settlements, you know. Well, you need to quit building in Jerusalem. But God says, no, I'm building it up. And the next verse after that says, this is being written for the generation to come. And in Hebrew, the word is acharon, and it means the terminal generation, the last generation. So this generation that sees Zion being built up is the one that will see the glory of the Lord revealed.
Wow. That's simply fantastic. I believe that. And, you know, I have never seen... let's go with this. I can remember when I was growing up, you remember Yasser Arafat, when I was a young person or a child, I can't exactly pin the date, but I remember he was the biggest terrorist in the world, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And talk about a conundrum, you know. Now our youth doesn't even know that. They think he's an okay guy that won the Peace Prize. But the nations as a whole, even America, I believe that America, our administration, maybe not the people in it, but our administration currently is hostile to Israel, something I never thought I would see. But to me, that's in itself prophetic, isn't it, to a point?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, one other thing I want to say, and I'll probably let you go, is you were on TBN here not long ago.
I was on the national TBN program, and I'm going to be back on the national TBN program, I think, in July. And this coming Monday morning, I'm going to be on the national Fox News television with Lauren Green, and Tuesday morning, I'll be on the Today Show.
Boy, they've just got you all over the place, don't they?
I'm running.
Well, you know what? I tuned in to watch TBN, the one on TBN, to see you. It said, well, Mark's going to be on there, WorldNet Daily, sent out a thing. And I went over there and I listened to those other guys. And to me, they missed the most important message. They should have let you talk more.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, you know, and that one guy was saying something about if the peace process got signed, you know, they were was going to start the tribulation. Wow, they actually even set dates on that program. But I don't know. I'm not in condemnation. I'm just being an observant person. Yeah. But anyway.
You never want to set dates. That's for sure.
Yeah, that can be the. Not only would the. I don't think anybody's going to know that time, but it's a quick way to end your ministry anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for being on with me. Any final words to people, and I'll let you go.
Hey, just Lord bless you all, and get on God's calendar. That's number one. Get on God's calendar.
All right. Well, all right. Will you be blessed, and thanks for being on with me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. Right. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, folks, you know, as you can see, Mark took time out to be with us from a very busy, busy schedule, so we let him out a little bit early. And you know, the thing about, you heard all the different programs that he's going to be on, and radio programs, publicists, when these new books come out and things, they push these men just horrendously. And so, you know, they do get a little bit tired, but he gave us some important information. Some shocking things. You know, people think that when Yeshua returns, that as Mark put it, we're all going to be off floating on a cloud. Well, that's just really not the way that it's going to be. We're not going to all go off and float on a cloud. And there's still work to be done, because there will still be nations here. Not the whole world is going to be destroyed at his return. Not till 1,000 years later. Read the book of Revelation. It's all right there. And it's spread out over the Bible. That's why we read the Torah and the prophets, and we reread the Bible over and over, because just like you said, it talks about how the nations will go up at the Feast of Tabernacles and worship the Lord. And it even says that he'll teach them Torah. Well, if the Torah is done away with, then why is Yeshua going to teach the nations Torah? Does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me. And so we should keep these feasts. Feast is not just means a great big party, but the feast is a word called Moedim. And which means an appointment. It's a divine appointment. It means that he set these times, and he set it in a way not so necessarily so the Americans could find out the feast dates, or maybe South America or Australia. He set these to a time clock that the Jews understood, so the Jews could meet them on those dates. Sure, we're grafted in, and we get to meet on those days, and because we're believers, we're grafted in through Yeshua. But still, it goes back to their time clock, and to the way, which isn't really their time clock at all. It goes back to the Father's time clock. And so he set these things in a way that they would recognize, that his people that he loves would recognize. And then after that, we're grafted into that. It's just like people say, well, the church started at Pentecost, and they act like the first Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit descended. But the reason all the Jews were there gathering was why? Because there was already a thing called Pentecost, and they were supposed to be in Jerusalem on that day. And so that's why there were Jews there from all over the world gathered there. And so when they came down and they spoke in other tongues and everybody understood everything in their own tongue, well, that's why. Because there were Jews from all over the world. They were gathered in Jerusalem. Sure, they had different languages. And so Peter preached probably one of the best sermons that was ever preached or message. And about 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Well, you know what Pentecost is? It's also the celebration of the beginning of the world and the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. You know, and when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and he threw the tablets down and broke them, and part of the people were killed that day. You know how many people were killed that day without Yeshua in between them? God, the Father, and them? Around 3,000. The same amount that when the Holy Spirit came and they repented and believed in Yeshua, then around 3,000 were added to the ecclesia that day. And ecclesia doesn't mean the word church. The ecclesia means the called out ones. So are you a called out one? Are you called out of the world, or are you part of the world? Actually, we should be like aliens on this planet. The world, we should not be in love with it. Yeah, Yeshua made it, and he made it for us to be here. But the world isn't as it should be. And so we talk about the world. It's, the world is full of lust and lust and everything. You need to open your eyes and look around. Everything out there is it's just horrendously lust after this, after this, after this, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. We need to come back around and put our eyes on Yeshua and do the things that are important to the Father, not the things that are important to us. What do you? And let's go with that. Are you a person that gets up every morning and you say, well, Father, I need this, this, and this. And, or do you say, Yeshua, I need this, this, and this. Or do you get up and say, guide my footsteps today. Show me what I can do to expand your kingdom. Show me what I can do for you. You know, that is a great thing. We're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to let Yeshua live through us. He is our Lord and Master. Is he the Lord and Master of your life? If he's the Lord and Master of your life, then you should be doing the things that are pleasing to him and not just searching after the things that are pleasing to your own heart and your own spirit. And so, you know, that's why when people ask me, they say, well, you know, Pastor Dan, why do you care for the poor like that? I can't deal with the poor. I hear preachers all the time. Well, I know that you're doing it, but I couldn't do that, so you must be called to do that. You know what? We're all called to show kindness one to another. We're all called to be our brother's keepers. If we have the heart of Yeshua, the spirit of Yeshua in us, we should be able to deal with anybody, because it isn't us that deals with them. You allow the Holy Spirit, you allow Yeshua to deal with those, with the other person. You know, and let's go back to the ministry. The last program tonight was in, because the guest didn't show up. I guess he had a family emergency, I'm told now. And he had to help his wife. Okay, well, bless him. So during that program, we talked about, and you should go listen to Mission Watch. It's already probably up in the archives over there at ABR. If it isn't, it will be in a little while. And it'll be in my archives later tonight. But we talked about helping the people and, you know, being called to do things. But, you know, we help the people because it's the right thing to do. It feels natural for us to help the poor. It's not like it's an... when I look at people that say, well, how do you do that? How come you're not doing it? You understand what I'm saying? How come you're not helping your brother? If you're one of the New Testament people that said all you got to do is love your neighbor as yourself, well, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Who do you include and exclude? And if you do love your neighbor as yourself, you know, loving others means that you're willing to give up and sacrifice for them. So go back to that. You should have sacrificed his life so that you might have life, so that you would have eternal life. What have you sacrificed for his kingdom? Do you make sacrifices for him? Do you sacrifice your, you know, if you go back in Matthew, it talks about how we go to prison and visit people and feed people and give people clothes, all those kind of things. Well, do you do that? When's the last time you sacrificed anything for Yeshua? You know, do you put him first? You're supposed to put him first and the other things last. You know, around our house, Yeshua comes first and everything else we want comes second. You know, that's how it's supposed to work. I put Yeshua above my wife and my children and his work. That's what, because I'm told to do that. You cannot love your wife more than you love Yeshua. You cannot love your husband more than you love Yeshua. But being in love with Yeshua, he wants you to do things like love your wife even as you love yourself, and for women to be to honor their husbands. That's a two-way street, you know? So, but the point is do you serve Yeshua or do you serve the world? That's the point. Pray about it. We really do need your help. Passover's coming up. We don't have enough money for Passover. We really need to raise some money for Passover. If one of you hear this and have a heart, pray about supporting Passover with us. We really do need your help. We must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Did you know that? There'll never be any real peace until he returns. Well, I'm going to get out of here. Make sure you come and join us next week for both programs, Mission Watch, on an hour earlier than this. Well, actually, 2 hours earlier than this. There's an hour difference between them anyway. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.